presented by DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
All right, I want you to get the picture of this. I'm sitting here in our Dog Nation Daily, Dog Nation World Headquarters studios here, and I'm getting ready to begin Dog Nation Daily here on this day and getting everything all lined up, computer in place, notes in place, pen in hand for whatever reason. Well, right before the show begins, one of my colleagues comes into the room and says, "Hey, BA, just want you to pace yourself. You got a lot of time between now and the Florida game two Saturdays from now. Make sure you don't kind of come out of the starting gates here too hard." Here's the thing you got to know. We've been talking about this Florida game, what, the last 50 weeks, every single day. And obviously, over the course of the next couple of weeks, with the bye week coming up this Saturday, we're going to talk a lot more about that because, yeah, listen, I am incredibly excited. I'm excited about the way this team is playing right now and really looking forward to what we are going to see in Jacksonville in a couple of weeks and the role that DogNation.com is going to play in all of that. And us here on Dog Nation Daily, we'll talk about all of that then. Before that, though, I guess it is probably appropriate to spend a little bit of time on the Missouri game. And I actually don't think this was an insignificant game for Georgia. I think it's the kind of game where Georgia did kind of show some stuff here a little bit. And not all of it perfect, not all of it great. But overall, I think it leads to a really positive story. I think Georgia displayed some things on Saturday that kind of prove this is a team that's growing and kind of prove this is a team that's kind of ready for what comes next. Now, the immediate next is Florida. The next beyond that are some even bigger goals and some bigger opportunities and challenges for Georgia. And what you saw on Saturday is kind of an indication that Georgia's kind of getting ready for some of that kind of stuff. Let me explain what I mean here. The first thing that Georgia showed on Saturday is that it is able to respond when it gets challenged. Now, it is partially a credit to Georgia that it's been challenged so little this season. Since the Notre Dame game, the second week of the year, Georgia really hasn't played a lot of close games. It has won every SEC game leading into Saturday by, 28 or more points. Eventually got an easy win on Saturday against Missouri. But for a while there, Missouri was kind of giving Georgia a little bit of a challenge, showing some of that offense that Kirby Smart had warned us about last week. The Drew Locke can be a pretty good quarterback. And the Missouri receivers can be a handful to deal with. And in the first half of the game, that really showed up and was on display. But overall, Kirby liked the way that his team responded, and he said so after the game on Saturday night.
I thought it was an electric atmosphere. Dog walk was one of the best it's ever been. They carried us through some tough times. Thought we showed some grit tonight and responded. It's just like a boxing match when you got to be able to take the guy's best punch. And we knew they had a vertical passing game. We thought they had the best quarterback throwing the ball that we would face, along with the best combination of speed.
First of all, I love what Kirby says about the crowd there at the beginning of that comment. I was a big believer that going into the game on Saturday, Georgia had a chance to avoid the same pitfalls that befell Clemson on Friday night. Washington State, who lost as a top 10 team on Friday night as well, the Georgia crowd could really, because it was a home game, because the Georgia crowd has been so good this year, including road games too, by the way, the Georgia crowd could kind of set a tone where Georgia wasn't going to fall in that same trap. Georgia wasn't going to be a potential victim of an upset as a heavy favorite because the Georgia crowd was just going to will them to perform better. And I thought from the word go, the Georgia crowd performed exactly the way that I would have expected them to perform. And I think the Georgia team, as Kirby Smart said there, I think the team did truly respond from that and to that. I also like the word grit there. And grit's one of these things that good coaches seem to be able to instill in their teams, a desire to kind of fight through, I don't want to say adversity because I don't know if this was adversity, but just sort of fight through a challenge and you know, go out and try to punch a team in the mouth. They punch back, and then you punch back even harder. In football, that's kind of what grit is, and Georgia, I think, showed that on Saturday. And, you know, I mentioned Washington State losing on Friday night. You may not care, but that was a top-10 team. And, you know, after the game, Mike Leach was kind of complaining about his team. That's the Cougars' coach, and he said, you know, we were just a bunch of front runners. And nobody wants that to be the true in the case of a football team. You don't want to just be front runners. You don't want to just be good when things are going well. You want to be good even when the other team kind of shows up and decides to play a little bit. And Georgia did that on Saturday. I think it was a really nice thing to prove in the game against Missouri. They could still fight, scratch, and claw and get an easy win when the other team kind of showed up and wanted to play, at least for a little while. And the other thing that I think the game against Missouri also shows is that this is a Georgia team that's capable of winning in more ways than just one. We've seen this team win by playing dominant defense and running the ball. But on Saturday, the defense got challenged more than it has really in any other game, and Georgia had to respond with its own offense. And when asked to do so, Jake Fromm and this Georgia offense was definitely up to that challenge, and Kirby talked about that as well.
I thought that was probably the sloppiest game as far as organizationally and the things we got to do to be a great team. But I don't want to diminish what that offense just went out there and did, because they executed well, they ran the ball well, they threw and caught the ball well. Jake made good decisions. I thought they grew up from a passing standpoint.
Yeah, listen, if you're thinking about the Georgia offense as being this sort of one-dimensional thing that is only about running when it can and not about throwing the ball, afraid to do that, then you're living the past. I'm talking about the very recent past. You're 2 or 3 weeks behind here. The internet has evolved a lot since then, and the stats that Georgia's kind of been putting out there on games over the last couple of weeks give an indication. This is a Georgia offense getting some confidence in itself. And this is a Georgia offense that I believe in the latter stages of October here and the month of November is going to do a whole lot better job of keeping pace with its defense than maybe you would have thought during the month of September. That's the other thing this game proved, is that it's not just the Georgia defense that strikes fear in the hearts of its opponents. A lot of these coaches, including Jim McElwain, for the next couple of weeks, are going to spend a lot of time game planning for what you do against the Georgia offense that all of a sudden starting to show a little bit of teeth. And speaking of McElwain in Florida, I think the third thing that the game against Missouri probably shows you is that Georgia really is ready for this game. And y'all know I am. Y'all know how much this Florida game means to me. And we're going to have a lot of fun with that. But on the serious part of it, it's a game where I think Georgia fans are just really hungry to see the Dogs kind of go out and end what has been a really unfortunate streak and really an unfortunate couple of decades. Well, this Georgia team looks like the kind of team that's more than capable of doing that. And I want to play you one more clip from Kirby Smart. And at first, this may not sound like a clip about the Florida game. But when you listen closely, you hear what the message, I think, from Georgia coaches has been to the players all year long and what it's going to be here over the next couple of weeks, and that is something that you take with you to Jacksonville. Kirby Smart was asked about some struggles running the ball early in the first half, and Smart kind of laid his philosophy on the line, and it's a philosophy a lot of Georgia fans themselves have been buying into recently, and apparently the Georgia players too. Here's how Kirby Smart answered about not being able to really run the ball as well as they wanted to in the first half, but kind of seeing that kind of come to fruition in the second half.
I keep telling y'all, it's hard to run the ball in this league, and early you got to earn it. You got to get the hard yards, you got to pound it, and you got to chop the wood. I mean, if you just keep chopping, it'll usually pay off in the fourth quarter, especially with the backs we got.
And keep chopping is really kind of the unofficial phrase that a lot of Georgia fans have adopted for this team this year. Every single day, every single week, every single opponent. Just keep chopping. Don't worry about what the media is saying good about you. Don't worry about what the media is saying bad about you. Don't pay attention to what Dog Nation Daily or anybody else is talking about. Just keep going to work. Keep chopping. You know, keep getting better each and every week. And in fact, here is that a very simple message sort of distilled down to its basic essence. And this is what Georgia takes with it to Florida.
You got to chop the wood. I mean, if you just keep chopping, it'll usually pay off.
There have been a lot of Georgia teams in the past that were not wood choppers. They were headline readers, and they were attention seekers, and they were, I hate to say it, maybe front runners a little bit, that kind of only were happy when things were going well and didn't respond to adversity very well. It didn't stay focused as well as they could. I get the impression this Georgia team is not that way. And I get the impression the next couple of weeks, as we look ahead to Florida, are going to be very fun here on Dog Nation Daily, because I know the fans are ready. And I think come next Saturday, we may see a team that's also ready to kind of go out there and get it done versus the Gators. My name is Brandon Adams. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Good to have you with us. A lot of ways you can find Dog Nation Daily, no matter how you found us. We're just glad you're here. You can watch us on video each and every Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. on the Dog Nation Facebook page. One of the cool things about that is it gives us a chance to interact together, including some questions and comments. We'll do that throughout the morning here on Dog Nation Daily today. You can also listen to us on the radio every day at noon on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref. And we're in podcast form on iTunes, SoundCloud. We post the show at theworldfamousdognation.com. Thanks so much for being with us here today on Dog Nation Daily. And if you are a regular listener to Dog Nation Daily, you know, one of the things we've been doing every single day for virtually the entire last year is counting down the days of the game that's going to take place two Saturdays from now. It's our Gatorator countdown, and it is 12 days away. Georgia goes to Florida for the cocktail party in 2 weeks. We're getting excited about that. And one of the things that we're excited about, by the way, is our Dog Nation invasion to Jacksonville on that day. Listen, here's the thing you got to understand about the Dog Nation invasion. We did one to South Bend, but not everybody got to be a part of that. We wanted to do one for the Florida game that gave more people a chance to be involved. We're able to kind of unveil more of these details. We'll show you this on the screen here if you're watching us on video. If you're listening, I'll tell you all about it. We're going to do a big Dog Nation invasion tailgate. Now, it's going to be 10 a.m. on game day. You don't see the address on the screen here, but I'll make sure I tell you more about that. It's the touchdown lot. It's part of the tailgaters parking. It's the touchdown lot. It's near gate 6 of the touchdown lot off Bryan Street. That's where we're going to be, and we'll talk to you a whole lot more about that in the days ahead. But that's where it's going to be for the Dog Nation invasion tailgate. It starts at 10 a.m. on game day. We're going to do a Dixie Vodka Lounge. The Dixie Vodka Lounge is for those 21 and up, of course, but we're going to do a Dixie Vodka Lounge. You can do a little Dixie Vodka tasting there. It's going to be a nice, cool thing, courtesy of our friends at Dixie Vodka. We're going to have four televisions set up. I'm going to be there. Jeff Sintel's going to be there. We'll watch a lot of the early games together and just hang out and have a good time. And while supplies last on that day, we're also going to give away a brand new Gator Hater t-shirt. Now, these are brand new. These are not to be sold. This is a giveaway courtesy of our sponsors for the event. Gator Hater t-shirt. It is in red. It looks great. We have a limited number of those, but if you can come by and see us there on that day, we are going to give away some red Gator Hater t-shirts courtesy of our sponsors while supplies last. Now, speaking of our sponsors, of course, one of the sponsors that makes this all possible are our friends at R.S. Andrews. And listen, I've been telling you about this for a while, and now it is true that the cold weather season is starting to be here. If you live in Georgia where I live, it's actually going to be, you know, fairly cold at night this week. That means that furnace is going to start to be tested. Is your furnace working as well as it needs to be? And can you trust it to get you through the cold weather season? Well, the best way to find that out is to get one of those guaranteed $99 furnace tune-ups from our friends at R.S. Andrews. Now, you should know Dari Peyro over there at R.S. Andrews, a huge dog fan. He's as excited as anybody about the big season happening for the Georgia Bulldogs, but he's also looking ahead to the cold weather season. And he wants you to stay warm during that cold weather season. So get their $99 furnace tune-up. It'll guarantee and keep you running all winter long. Their clean screen, trained and timely techs will give your system that thorough check. They'll make sure it's running. You can check them out online for the $99 furnace tune-up at rsandrews.com. All right, I've got a really good idea for the Florida game in a couple weeks. I'm going to tell you about more about that coming up. Before that, though, let me kind of get into this. You know, I mentioned a moment ago that I thought that, you know, for a lot of the people who are kind of stuck in the past on this being a Georgia offense that can only run the football and this being a Georgia offense that, you know, is limited, you know, limited what it can do, needs its defense to have a big game, not asking too much from the quarterback. I mean, folks, how many weeks do we have to see big improvement for Jake Fromm before that as a storyline just kind of starts to slip away and move away? And what you're seeing from Fromm right now is a young man who's getting better. And one of the things that Kirby Smart said on Saturday night is one of the reasons why that Fromm is getting better is because he's starting to believe in himself and starting to gain that all-important confidence that allows you to kind of go out and succeed at the SEC level. Here's Kirby on Fromm.
Seeing a little more confidence, making good decisions. He understands the game. He knows where to go with the ball. He sees coverage as well. Made a mistake, made a poor decision. But quarterbacks are going to make those, and hopefully he learns from it and continues to grow. But he's getting better as a player, and he's putting us in the right plays. And the guys caught the ball. That was the biggest difference. They threw and caught the ball when they had the opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Georgia fans, I would imagine, have an incredible level of growing confidence in Jake Fromm. Kirby Smart right there just talked about Fromm's confidence growing. I think the Georgia fans' confidence in Fromm's also growing here as well. He had to play a lot on Saturday without Terry Godwin, and Godwin's been a really comfortable receiver for Fromm this year. And on Saturday, Fromm had to kind of do without Terry Godwin a little bit, but was still able to get other receivers involved, able to get Javon Wims involved. We saw Riley Ridley catch a touchdown. We saw a lot of that happening on Saturday, and it's the growing confidence that Fromm has in himself that I think is allowing other fans to believe this is the kind of quarterback that you can win with right now at the SEC level. This is not a limited freshman anymore who you have to kind of game plan around. This is a guy that can be a big part of the Georgia game plan, and Georgia's looking pretty good right now at the quarterback position. And, of course, you know, there was the back-and-forth nature of the first half in this game a little bit. Georgia would score, Missouri would respond, and you kind of went into halftime feeling like Missouri might hang around here a little bit. And then in the third quarter, that's when things started to change for Georgia. You were able to see DeAndre Swift kind of get off, and he has the big 71-yard touchdown run, or I should say long run, that sets up the Sony Michel touchdown. But it was the big run from DeAndre Swift that kind of once again showed you what kind of player he is, but also in this game, I think, enabled Georgia to kind of skate to an easy victory in the second half of this game. And that's the reason why we're going to make this our Aldi game-saving moment, courtesy of Aldi, the supermarket that saves you money. And listen, right now, Aldi's got more fall for all. Aldi offers low price on all your favorite fall favorites, so you can spend more time savoring the sights of the season. Simply smarter shopping at Aldi. Congratulations to DeAndre Swift, whose 71-yard run to set up the Sony Michel touchdown was our Aldi game-saving moment for today. And after the game, Kirby Smart talked about DeAndre Swift.
DeAndre Swift continues to be a great change-up asset to our offense, catching the ball in the backfield, running the ball, and he's a hard worker. And yeah, I thought he did a better job tonight of picking up pressure on third down.
Yeah, listen, there's no question about it. That DeAndre Swift looks like more than just a good player. He looks like more than just one of the nation's most capable third-string running backs. He looks like an explosive player in his own right. He brings the wow factor in a way that maybe nobody else in the Georgia roster can kind of bring together on that big run. And the and I know he had the leap play where he jumped over the defender. That got called back, but he kind of showed you that a little bit as well. So fun stuff from Georgia against Missouri. Looking ahead to Florida over the next couple of weeks, it's great to have you with us here today on Dog Nation Daily, and it wouldn't be a Monday without Chip Towers. Let's welcome him back to the program right now.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
And, of course, we will say hello to Chip Towers here on Dog Nation Daily. Good to have him back with us on the program. And, Chip, before you joined us, one of the things I talked about was what Georgia was able to show on Saturday night. One of the things I thought Georgia did show, and I kind of explained this, is how it would respond when it was challenged. And Georgia did get challenged in the first half. And in your mind, was it good for Georgia to kind of be in a game where the other opponent kind of fought back a little more than Vanderbilt and Tennessee probably did? What was your thoughts on that?
I mean, that's kind of where we are with this team, Brandon. Now, they really have, grown a lot since the beginning of the season. And obviously, they were coming into that contest having won three SEC games by 100 points for an average of 33 a game. I think definitely it was good to experience some adversity. And Georgia, I think, responded to it nicely as well. But, of course, it exposed some weaknesses. You're sitting there tied up 21-all midway through the first quarter against, a Missouri team that might not win this year. I don't know, in the SEC. But they, certainly could do what Kirby Smart said they could do. He said that their vertical passing game concerned them, and they got back deep a little bit, and it was kind of good for Georgia to feel what that was like. They still haven't trailed in Sanford Stadium this season, which is a good thing, but they came close to it, and they certainly answered in the second half. And when you look at it from a defensive standpoint, Georgia actually didn't play all that bad. I mean, you gave up 126 yards and two touchdowns on two plays. Otherwise, they were pretty good, but that's kind of a big otherwise,
Yeah, and I also on Jake Fromm as well, who kind of paced things for the Georgia offense. I think that early September, Chip, is a long time ago now. And the young man that was kind of thrust into action against Appalachian State and then, frankly, probably struggled a little bit against Notre Dame, I don't think he would call that a very good game. I don't think Jim Chaney, Kirby Smart probably thought the game in South Bend was that great for Fromm. But that's a long time ago now. And this is a young man that I believe is playing not only like he himself is confident, but he ought to instill some confidence in the part of his play caller, Jim Chaney. Fromm right now looks like the kind of quarterback you can win with. Do you agree with that?
Well, I actually think you touched on two big things right there. I mean, I think between the belief of Jim Chaney and the belief of his teammates has really taken Jake Fromm to another level. I mean, he's won over this team, Brandon. It was just so evident after the game Saturday. I mean, it's been evident all year, but when you come through like that, there's a belief, a confidence that's not only inherent to Jake Fromm, but to his teammates, and then certainly to play caller Jim Chaney. And we've seen that actually grow all year. I mean, I thought it was the Mississippi State game that I really saw Jim Chaney start, kind of digging kind of deep in that playbook. Georgia's running a lot of sophisticated motions and stuff. They can kind of transition pretty good from being a pro-style team to spreading it out and doing some zone read stuff. Jake has got really good at reading that defensive end and decided when to keep it. He has three touchdowns on the year now and positive rushing yardage. This has really been a neat thing, for lack of a better word, to kind of watch the growth and development of Jake Fromm along with Georgia's offense with him. Georgia's offense is growing with Jake Fromm, and the possibilities are pretty impressive at this point.
I don't want to fixate on this issue, but it seems like the appropriate thing to ask a question about, the fact that Jacob Eason doesn't get into this game in the fourth quarter. Is there anything to read from that, from Kirby Smart, read into it if you're a fan of Jacob Eason, that even in a pretty comfortable game for Georgia in the fourth quarter, Eason doesn't get on the field? And I believe this is the first game in his Georgia career that he hasn't played in at all, other than the ones he was clearly injured and not able to play in. I mean, any comment about why Eason doesn't go in there in the fourth quarter?
Well, if you read Dog Nation, you would read something into that because I wrote about it Saturday night and I thought it did make a little bit of a statement. Now, the circumstances in the game, especially on that last possession when Georgia's essentially running out the clock and all Jake Fromm is doing is handing off, I can kind of understand not bringing him in that situation. It might have been different if you were a little bit more comfortable early in the fourth quarter, but yeah, I mean, I have seen the transition, have witnessed the transition. In my opinion, from my observations, it's Jake Fromm's team. And now there's no longer any oars or question marks between in the depth chart. You know, it's Jake Fromm's team, and Jacob Eason is the backup, and you turn to him if needed and or if warranted, you know, if you have enough time. I think it's important to get your backup in the game whenever possible because you just got to keep those guys sharp. But, you know, maybe with a week off between this and the Florida game, it just wasn't all that necessary. I mean, Kirby did a few curious things. You know, he goes for two there in the fourth quarter as well, you know, because, you know, he wanted to be sure and be up four scores, even though the math doesn't quite work for me. But anyway, yeah, I thought it was a bit of a statement. And I think we all know what the line is now. I mean, this is Jake Fromm's team, and Jacob Eason will get in there and help him out when needed.
I think this is one of those moments over the course of the next couple of weeks that could be a little frustrating for fans, given that obviously Terry Godwin is a big part of Georgia's offense. He is the receiver that I still think that Jake Fromm's the most comfortable with, and, you know, with him having what's been called a rib injury and not a whole lot said about that on Saturday night other than we think he's going to be fine, I'm guessing the next few days, now there's not going to be a press conference today, so Kirby won't be talking about it all today, but on Tuesday, I guess Smart's going to speak to the media again. My guess is you won't hear much from him on the Godwin front there either, and Georgia fans may kind of go towards the Florida game not really knowing too much about how healthy Terry Godwin is going to be. Is that also kind of your read on this situation, that while he's important, we may not get a lot of details here?
Yeah, we're not going to get many details. I mean, I think it's, you know, Kirby's made it pretty clean. Anytime he has a situation like this, he's going to try to use it to his advantage, and so he's going to keep the Florida Gators guessing. Now, I would, just the fact that they came Saturday and said he thinks he's going to be fine, I mean, they do x-rays there at the stadium, and they trotted him off, Godwin off right away, right after that injury. You could tell it was his left ribs. You could tell he took a shot in there, and what you're looking for is cracks. Is there a fracture of the broken ribs over there? And the fact that he came out and said, fine, I may be reading too much into it, tells me that those x-rays were probably negative. But, you know, again, we're guessing. We don't know. But that's the type of situation that, again, everything falling in line for Georgia. I mean, having some time off this week, I would imagine you would keep Godwin out, let him heal up. At the very least, you know he's got bruised ribs, and any of us who've had that type of injury knows how painful that is, hard even to sleep. But, you know, he should have 2 weeks here to heal up. They have black jackets they can wear and all that kind of stuff, and just knowing Terry Godwin like I know him, if it's not, you know, fractured broken ribs, I certainly think he'll try to go. In the meantime, Mecole Hardman, you know, kind of answered a lot of questions in that game. He actually said after the game, where he ends up with, I believe it was 172 all-purpose yards, that he knew he needed to step up with Terry Godwin out, and you also saw Riley Ridley step up. Georgia's wide receiver core is in pretty good shape. I've kind of maintained all along. If Godwin's not there, that certainly hurts you, but Georgia does have some pretty good depth there where everybody just moves up a spot, and I think they can still operate the way they need to as an offense.
And, Chip, I would add to that, you also saw Charlie Warner get a catch on Saturday, and he kind of got into the act. You know, a lot of Georgia players hurdled Missouri players on Saturday. One of the guys that did that was Charlie Warner, and I know that's another guy. You know, you mentioned Riley Ridley caught a touchdown. You could ask a lot of questions about Ridley. When is he going to get more involved? You could ask a lot of questions about Warner. Is he going to have a big role on this team? And, well, you know, it was a day on Saturday to kind of get some of those guys involved, and you really kind of see just how deep this team can be from a potential playmaker standpoint. Now, there's still some trusted weapons, and Godwin may be near the top of that list, but there are a lot of other guys that could potentially have their moment in the sun if called upon as well, and I thought Warner is probably another name to add to that list.
Yeah, I think Georgia could probably have a pretty good hurdle relay team after watching that game Saturday night, and Warner's probably was the most impressive. I mean, he's he's such a tall guy as it is, he just stepped over that poor little defensive back who was, you know, going for his legs, as I think any of us would when we have a 250-pound, you know, tight end trucking down the sideline toward him. You know, but he is a Charlie Warner is a guy that I've always said. I mean, he really did. He ran hurdles in high school at a state championship level, and you know, he can fly too. And people have asked all year, asked me like, where are the tight ends? Where are Isaac Nauta? And you know, they're involved in the running game and blocking for the running game, and you just really haven't needed them. And that's what happened Saturday night. You know, Georgia had to deviate from a run-oriented team to a pass-oriented team, or at least they were almost perfectly balanced before they had to run the clock out mm-hmm. in the fourth quarter. And Charlie Warner's one reason for that. Riley Ridley got involved. And Jake Fromm, those third-down conversions in the first half were all world. I think he was 5 for 5 on third and longs to start the game. So, yeah, Georgia's got a lot of good offensive momentum, and we're starting to see some different people, Mecole Hardman, Charlie Warner, some others step up.
What do you think about the mindset that Kirby seems to be, at least the public-facing version of that when it comes to Georgia? On the one hand, he will allude to goals at the end of the season. He's sort of not afraid of championship expectations, but he also kind of maintains the one day at a time, you know, keep chopping wood, tack each day, you know, the kind of stuff that you hear all coaches say. But I think right now, at least based on what you're seeing on the field and what Kirby's saying publicly, that he's actually splitting that difference pretty well. He's not afraid of the fact that there is potentially more than just a regular season at the end of this path for Georgia, but he's not fixating on it too much. I kind of like the way that he's sort of striking that balance. Do you agree? You obviously spend more time closer to him than I do.
Well, that's a little bit of a change that he's starting to come out a little bit more and say things like, if we're going to be the team we want to be, you know, if we want to do what we want to do, those kind of, that's about as close as you'll get Kirby to say it. You know, he won't say championship. It's probably, he probably can't even physically, it's like one of those 30, like, geez,
right,
he
right,
won't be
yeah.
able to say championship.
But not to cut you off, and I don't mean to cut you off, but you would agree that by saying that, hey, the team we want to be, the things we can do, that's at least a wink and a nod towards the thing that we know could be at the end of this road, right?
That's right. I mean, there's nowhere to hide anymore. Look, Georgia's number 3. They're up there. And, you know, I was sitting here looking over the week. Saturday I wrote, you know, all the different teams in the country that were also in play for playoff spots, were still undefeated and that kind of stuff. And do you realize, you know, I believe, you know, 5 or 6 of those guys went down. I didn't realize until this morning. I was like, wow, San Diego State lost too. I kind of missed that one.
Right.
And so, you know, it's like the parting of the Red Sea here for Georgia. So, yeah, there's, you know, I mean, you got to admit it sooner or later. And even the Florida loss, I mean, now they're sitting there 3-2, and they got some big problems. And it's just kind of wide open for Georgia. So there's nowhere to hide about that. You have to, sooner or later, you got to address it. And that's what Georgia's playing for now. They're playing for an SEC championship and a national championship. And whether you, you know, verbalize that or not, that's a fact.
And, you know, if you don't mind, I want to ask you a little procedural question here. You know, in between anything that does happen later on, you've got what's going to happen this week, which is a bye week. Kirby Smart's called it a work week. But specifically, what is this week like for Georgia? The practice is just as intense? What happens on Saturday, typically on bye weeks? I mean, as a guy who's covered a lot of Georgia teams and maybe different coaches treat bye weeks differently, what can we expect to be happening behind closed doors for Georgia here over the course of the next 7 days?
Yeah, well, all due respect to Kirby, and you know, say it's a work week. That's for any team that has a bye week. In fact, they'll probably go really hard. I mean, the biggest advantage you get on an off week is really Sunday, Monday. You get a chance to get your legs all the way back under you. I'm not 100% sure, but they won't do much today. They'll probably go real hard on Tuesday and probably Wednesday as well. But the big difference is on the weekend. You know, they'll be off, and that's the one time you really have a chance to take advantage of the off day, because you'll try to get ahead. I imagine they'll do some work on Friday as well, even though they don't have a practice. I imagine they'll probably do some classroom work on Friday, getting ahead in the game plan for Florida. But then really getting your legs up under you, not having to play on a Saturday, that's where you'll get an advantage. And then you'll probably be a day early during the week on your implementation of your game plan and everything. So, you know, you should be, you know, Sunday will be like Monday, Monday will be like Tuesday, et cetera, through the week, which is great when Georgia has to travel like it does to Jacksonville.
Well, let me speak to you about Florida before I say goodbye to you. Do you think this Georgia team, because of Kirby Smart and his mindset, do you think it's more prepared for the mental challenge of facing Florida, given the fact that Georgia's won so little in the series for the last, what, three decades?
Yeah, I mean, I really believe those kind of things reside more in the fan base than they do in the players. And look, the closer I look at this team as they go along, you know, it's all about those four seniors, or let's say five seniors, Dominic Sanders as well, but, you know, certainly Davin Bellamy, Lorenzo Carter, Nick Chubb, and Sony Michel all made conscious decisions to come back rather than turn pro when they could have gone ahead and taken the money. I'm sure they all would have made a roster. I don't think there's any question about that. But they did not want to leave the way they left last year. And for me, I mean, Nick Chubb especially, it's the tech game that Georgia got away. They got away from Georgia last year. It's the Florida game. You know, it's games like this, the Tennessee game, that you can really kind of, see just a different kind of glint in his eye. And, I just think they have some things they want to rectify. And I think that's what's helping this team. The senior leadership on this team is what's driving this bus. And that's why I don't think that stuff is really – I mean, the matchups favor Georgia. Florida is I talked to Pat Dooley this past week. He kind of thinks they're sort of done. He does not expect those nine suspended players to come back for the Georgia game, that those guys are out for the year. He's pretty sure. And, they're a beat-up team, and they got some real issues on the offensive side of the ball. So there's no excuse here for Georgia. It doesn't matter what's happened in previous years. It's all about this year. Georgia's got a lot on the line, and they're supremely motivated based on that senior leadership.
Chip, it's great stuff. We appreciate your time here today on Dog Nation Daily. We'll look forward to reading more from you throughout the week here on DogNation.com. Appreciate your game coverage from Sanford Stadium on Saturday night, and we'll talk to you next week. I guess you may already be in Jackson when we speak to you next week, by the way, or at least wherever it is that you're staying. So we'll look forward to talking about the cocktail party next time you're with us.
All right, we'll catch up with you then.
Good stuff there from Chip Towers.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Appreciate Chip Towers here on Dog Nation Daily. Always fun with him on the program, and fun to start looking ahead to that Georgia-Florida game. And it's always cool to talk to Chip about that, because Chip has been to so many, and he's seen so much. And when you ask him about, hey, how is this relatively new coach going into his second Georgia-Florida game, how's he going to approach the cocktail party differently than it was done for 15 years under Mark Richt, or a handful of years under Jim Donnan, or a few years under Ray Goff? I mean, that's the guy who kind of lived through all of that. And, you know, obviously there's a whole week to talk about this kind of stuff, and really 2 weeks to talk about this kind of stuff. But I'm a big believer that for a long time, Florida's dominance in this series could be easily explained. There was a long period of time which Florida was just a better team and the better program. Somewhere, though, in the 2000s, that kind of changed, where Georgia was having the better overall seasons. It was winning SEC East championships. It was going to the SEC championship game, winning some of those, but still in a lot of those years losing to Florida. And at that point in time, it became more of a mental deal than just a physical deal. And you can't tell me that some of that wasn't weighing on Georgia in the latter part of the first decade of this century, for instance. Yeah, the fans thought about it more, but you couldn't tell me that it didn't also impact the team a little bit. I think that Kirby Smart, because of his attack each day type mentality and keep chopping wood type mentality, I do think he is a coach that is probably uniquely equipped, at least compared to maybe some of what Georgia's had in the past, to block out the pass failure. Because the truth is, these young Georgia players don't remember those games anyway. They may never have even heard of Steve Spurrier, and that lack of awareness about how bad things used to be, probably a good mindset for this Georgia team to take into the game next Saturday. By the way, we'll make this our SEC Through, and remind you to check us out on AT&T SEC Country Live this afternoon, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, on the SEC Country Facebook page. And also, when you think about Jacksonville, let me tell you about this as well. Coming up next Tuesday, we're going to be at the Marlowe's in Brookhaven for our Dog Nation Invasion big game preview. We'll be at the Marlowe's in Brookhaven getting you ready for that. It's going to be 6 to 8 p.m. next Tuesday night. That's October the 24th, and it's 3575 Durden Drive in Atlanta. Go ahead and put that address into your GPS, your Waze, your navigation, however you get there. 3575 Durden Drive in Atlanta for the Marlowe's in Brookhaven. We'll be there from 6 to 8 p.m. next Tuesday night, talking about the cocktail party and getting really excited about that game. And you know what? If you're going to talk about the cocktail party, how about you have some of those craft cocktails there to Marlowe's? That's a great way to do that. We'll look forward to seeing you there. And one of the things we'll talk about when we're there is the Florida loss. to Texas A&M on Saturday night. And as Chip said a moment ago, longtime Florida writer told him that Florida just may be done. My guess is they'll play hard against Georgia still, but you saw against the Aggies on Saturday night, this is a Florida team that has some legitimate problems. Felipe Franks is not an impressive quarterback. I know Tyree Cleveland tried to give it a go on Saturday, but this is a team with a real absence of playmakers, a real absence of really kind of any kind of offensive identity to speak of whatsoever. Now, I think the Texas A&M is probably a pretty good team, but this was not a good day for Florida. And I think so far, Florida has proven to be just as mediocre as I thought they would be at the beginning of a season. But if I was right about Florida, something that I was wrong about was Auburn. You know, I thought that Auburn was going to win the SEC West. And now, given just a first conference loss here, but another loss for Auburn, they're starting to maybe not look quite like the team that I thought they would be. Now, I'm not panicking on Auburn yet in terms of my prediction. Obviously, as a host of Dog Nation Daily, it's always kind of nice to see Auburn doing poorly. But in terms of my prediction, I'm not going to panic and run from that yet necessarily just because they lost to LSU on Saturday. But this was not a good win. For a program that was looking for its first win in Death Valley since 1999, this was a bit of a stub toe for Auburn here. And a lot of that's going to be laid right at the feet of Gus Malzahn, another poor offensive performance. And all of a sudden, a big change in conversation. You go from thinking that Gus Malzahn's leading one of the nation's top teams and Ed Orgeron's on his way to being a disaster in his first year. All of a sudden, LSU's won two straight. It's Gus Malzahn who's taking a lot of the heat and a lot of the criticism coming off the game against LSU. It's kind of funny how things can change in the SEC. One of the things, though, that does not appear to be changing is the situation at Tennessee. Another bad loss for the Vols, this time to South Carolina. Offense hasn't scored a touchdown in three games. Am I right about that? I mean, just a mess of a performance offensively, including negative yardage for the Vols once they kind of got down near the goal line and a chance to punch it across. Not able to do that. You have to wonder here, Butch Jones' days as Tennessee coach are just numbered. I would guess that he's going to lose his job. Maybe you don't want to put an interim coach out there against Alabama. That's the opponent this week. But Tennessee already like a 34-point underdog to Alabama. What a mess in Knoxville. And Butch Jones would not appear to be getting another chance to kind of clean all that up. One more quick SEC story let me get to. Speaking of Alabama, they do roll versus Arkansas on Saturday. And, you know, the Crimson Tide continue to look impressive. Damian Harris maybe starting to put himself in the Heisman Trophy conversation here a little bit. Alabama is a force to be reckoned with, and you almost have to wonder, is it just inevitable that now that Alabama, juggernaut from the West, Georgia maybe a juggernaut from the East, these two teams will collide in the SEC championship game? But as far as Saturday's game against Arkansas goes, whether you're taking Austin Allen out and putting in the new quarterback, Brett Bielema does not appear to have a lot of answers in Fayetteville at the moment. That was another ugly game for the Hogs, and we'll make that your SEC through. All right, coming up in just a moment here on Dog Nation Daily, I want to talk to you about some of the Georgia injury situations. I thought that Chip Towers had some interesting things to say a moment ago about Terry Godwin. We'll talk to you more about that here in a moment. But before that, let me pitch an idea to you and see if you think this makes some sense. And I want to hear from some of the people who are with us in the room on this as well. So we got 2 weeks to get ready for the game against Florida. And I know that a lot of you dislike Florida just as much as I do. Now, I'm very much on the record about this. We've done the Gatorator countdown over and over again here on Dog Nation Daily. I've said that a good Georgia fan is a Gator hater first and foremost. I'm a big believer that, and I've tried to make my case as to why, that the Florida rivalry ought to rank above all the others for Georgia. Good things come when you beat Florida, especially if you can find a way to beat them in bunches here. And I know some of you, many of you, agree with me on that statement. And many of you have taken the Florida hatred to an all new level. So here's what I think we might try to do here over the next few days. And some of y'all weigh in on this. Tell me if you think this is a good idea. I'm talking to the people on the other side of our glass here that kind of help make sure we stay on the air. What if we did a Gator Hater roll call over the course of the next couple of weeks? And if you've got a picture of yourself wearing one of our Gator Hater t-shirts, send a picture of that in with your name. We'll put your name on the screen for those of us watching on video. If not, I'll read it out for the people who are listening to the audio version of this. Let's just kind of find out, like, who really hates Florida? Whether it be your Gator Hater t-shirt, or maybe you've got one of those old school great bumper stickers, a lot of negative Florida stuff. I've had even someone bring me one of those, one of our Marlowe's remotes before. Whatever picture you can take to sort of indicate your hatred for Florida, whether it be one of our shirts or something from your own, you know, life and your own collection, send those in to me on Twitter at Dog Nation Daily. We'll make sure we put those on the screen here. We'll give you some credit for it during our podcast and let folks know that there are a lot of Georgia fans who are just as excited as I am about what's going to happen 2 Saturdays from now and cannot wait for the cocktail party. And, of course, our big Dog Nation invasion to Jacksonville, also a big part of that as well. What we don't know yet, though, is how healthy Georgia's going to be when it gets to that game. If you want to bring things back to sort of a serious conversation for a moment, including Terry Godwin, who did leave Saturday's game with what was called a rib injury and was apparently getting some x-rays underneath the stands there at Sanford Stadium. Chip Towers alluded to this a moment ago, but here's what Kirby Smart said about the injury to Godwin immediately after the game on Saturday night.
Yeah, he's got a rib injury. I think he'll be fine. He had to go check it, get it checked out, and get it x-rayed, and I think he should be fine.
When Chip Towers was on the show a moment ago, he alluded to Kirby Smart's use of the word fine. You really heard Kirby use that word twice. And what Chip said a moment ago was that Kirby's probably not using that word fine unless he truly thought Terry Godwin was going to be fine. I think this is probably one of those moments when, to use a bad cliche, that the bye week does come in a good time for Georgia. This would feel like the kind of thing, no matter what the specificity of the injury is, that time would probably help it here. I'm no doctor, I'm no medical expert, but I'm guessing that if Terry Godwin is going to be sort of taking it easy over the course of the next couple weeks, at least a little bit, that sort of increases his likelihood for being able to play next Saturday against Florida. And I believe that even with Jake Fromm on the rise here as a quarterback, you still want a healthy, full complement of wide receivers, and that includes Terry Godwin. Now, the position group that Georgia's even more injured at than wide receiver, though, is on the defensive line. We went into Saturday knowing that Trent Thompson was not going to play. At a certain point in the game, Tyler Clark exited and then came back in. But to add a couple more names to that list, you also had, David Marshall and DaQuan Hawkins-Muckle, a couple other guys who kind of contribute on the defensive line slightly different ways, but both up front for the Georgia defense. They didn't play either. Kirby Smart didn't say much about why, but it did allow this.
They both got injuries, undisclosed injuries. But hate it for them because they're both good players and could have helped us tonight.
Yeah, so, you know, you've quickly taken what was a real strength for Georgia, the depth along its defensive line. All of a sudden, if you start scratching guys off with injury, that doesn't quite feel quite like such a deep strength anymore. So that'll be another thing that Georgia fans pay attention to over the course of the next couple of weeks, just how healthy can this defensive line get, because we know how big the Florida game is, and we know that Georgia wants all hands on deck going into that particular football game. By the way, to wrap up the show here today, speaking of Florida, something else that, I don't know, this probably shouldn't even bother me that much, but I at least wanted to mention this. So, you know, on that College Game Day final show that they do every Saturday on ESPN, I used to watch this thing religiously back in the day. The truth is, I don't really stay up late enough to watch this thing on most Saturdays anymore when I'm home. And when Georgia has one of these late home games, I don't get home in time to see it anyway. You know you're home late from a football game when College Game Day final is already over, but the last few home games, that's been the case. But on this show is former Florida quarterback Jesse Palmer. How about this? And like I said, I shouldn't even probably care about this, but I kind of do. On his, sort of who's in the college football playoff right now, they do 5 teams, the team sort of closest to get in and the 4 that would be in. He had Georgia 4th on his list right now and had TCU ahead of Georgia. Joey Galloway had Georgia 3rd, the same place as ranked in both polls. Is this the former Gator just sliding Georgia on purpose here? Either way, I didn't like it. We'll see you tomorrow on Dog Nation Daily.